brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sipping time.
Yes, it's sipping time again. Hello and welcome to this Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m. This is a one-hour show. Sorry. We're going to try to be somewhat entertaining for... What do you think, Brent?
Not 22 minutes. That's
I'm gonna use my jazz hands. That'll make it really entertaining, right?
Yeah, especially on the radio. Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Right. These are my new jazz hands.
Already, yeah. Yeah, here. It's scratch and sniff radio.
Right, so, yeah.
60 seconds in and it's already falling apart.
Well, you know, everybody has to have a low target and a goal that is, you know, achievable. We are the epitome of that, go. Bob.
There you go. We're always
we start
we're
out
always
like this, it can
mark.
Only get better.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Well, this is Made Man Bob, and joining me today, our Made Man Brent.
It's going to be interesting to be here today.
As opposed to what, like any other day? Or
no, to not being here.
Okay.
I have to drink stuff I drank already this year. So
are any of
like
us really
a vujade day?
Yeah. Well, right. I'm thinking the options the other way. It's like interesting, not interesting. Interesting, not interesting. I mean, what other options were you weighing, Brent, that we just don't know about?
Whether I wore pants or not.
Right. Well, no, that's not answer. Really a question. You know, I definitely know exactly which way that was going.
That's why
I
will never be on TV.
Yeah.
Well, good old boy, Jason.
Great to be here.
Madman Maury.
Who's working on his sound?
Apparently. And good old boy, Justin.
Good morning. So glad I survived this much of the year.
Good old Carrie Ann.
I'm ready to be best today.
And good old gal Denise. And apparently it's not working there either. And good old boy, Mike.
2020.
I'm totally here. I was here at the beginning, the end, the middle. Yes, that's true. Maybe I'll be the proxy for Maury and Denise.
Yeah, that sounds good. Well, our sip segments. Oh, thanks. Now. Yeah, great.
But if you want to be my proxy, that's fine.
You know that little blue switch on the microphone that says on?
I am wondering, am I full of enough crap to... Yes. No, I don't think so. Yeah.
So full of crap, Foley.
That I could actually, you know, embody and be, you know, Maury's proxy.
No.
Everybody's going, yes.
You're not nearly saucy enough.
Their meter is pegged.
You got a ways to go.
All right. Well, our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee, and pretty much anything else you can drink. And today's show is our best of 2020 show, where we're going to select an expression that we tried in the last year that we felt that was truly exceptional. We got a lot of people, obviously, and a lot of ground to cover. So we're going to hear from some of our co-hosts, and we're going to actually have a couple of them come in on recording because they couldn't join us today. But I'm going to ask Brent to use his patented drunk leprechaun.
Oh, what do you say about that?
First pick.
Oh, thank you, Bob. My first pick is the best for the best of 2020 is the old Fitzgerald Bottled and Bond. Spring of 2020 release, 50% ABV, 100 proof, 9 years old.
I can hear everybody in Bardstown absolutely holding their hands over their eyes going, please stop. Please stop, Brent. Please stop.
Are they staring at their radio?
Oh, you are never going to get me to stop on that one.
I think that's a leprechaun on crack.
Yes, very much.
It is South Florida, so, you know.
Yeah.
No, So starting in 2018, each spring and fall, a new edition of the Old Fitzgerald Bottled and Bond Decanter Series is released. Bottled in an ornate decanter, it's really nice looking if you haven't seen it. It's inspired by an original 1850s Old Fitzgerald diamond decanter. The series reflects the traditions of both the Old Fitzgerald history tied to John E. Fitzgerald and the historic Bottled and Bond designation. The Old Fitzgerald line was first registered in 1884 by S.C. Herbert and was eventually sold to Julian Pappy Van Winkle during Prohibition. Pappy moved production of the Old Fitzgerald to its Sisalwell distillery, where it quickly gained fame. Now, one of the reasons that made me pick this bottle was when I was fortunate enough to be able to open this up in the store right as it came out. And we've had a lot of stellar picks over the year, and I base this purely on this when I opening this. It's got a deep, deep mahogany color, just a beautiful color to it. It's nice and dark. You wouldn't think that it was 9 years. You'd think it was more older than that based on the color. And the nose on this, it's just filled with vanilla, cream of wheat. When you get that cream of wheat nose, it's like, oh, I'm definitely tasting a wheater on this. You get some orange citrus, a little bit of pine, and it's kind of like you just want to nose this all day. You don't want to even stop to drink it or anything. You could just, that's good enough. I can nose this. But then you take a sip of this, get this nice silky coating on your mouthfeel, all the way from the front of your mouth to the back. You get these big, huge toffee hits, rich caramel, some baking spice. You get all the allspice and cinnamon. You get a little bit of sugar cookies on there. And then the finish on this is really what got me, as this is just like this huge Kentucky hug. It just doesn't stop. It warms you from the inside out, and you still get all those baking spices. You got that cinnamon. Yeah. Oh, it is. It's beautiful. It doesn't stop. It's like, well, when it stops, I'll have my next drink. You know, it doesn't want to let you down. So, this is only 9 years old. And you kind of think that as a nine-year-old, it's not going to be, you know, what I like about it is it's not over oaky at all. Where some of the other Bottled and Bond, their series of the 14 and the 15, they get a little bit more oak and stuff to them, where this one doesn't have quite as much as that. And I'm okay with that. So, you know, I'm happy with it. What do you guys think of this, of my choice?
What's your sips rating on this here, Brent?
Well, I'll tell you what, when we had this on the show, we got samples that were not as good as what I got out of the bottle, and they're not as good as what I'm drinking here tonight. And so, but I give this a sips rating of 5 for sure.
Oh my goodness!
Yes! 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 Yes!
Well, I thought it was an interesting year for this particular product because they actually released a wide variety of years, even within 2020. So there is the traditional spring and fall releases. So that was the 9 year, and the 14 year were the ones that hit wide distribution. So Carrie Ann and I actually went up to
wide distribution is,
well, yeah, like one bottle in each state. So right. Well,
I got the bottle in Florida, so I'm happy.
Some dude in South Dakota going, what? What? I got the only bottle. What's up with you? So we actually we're in Bardstown for the release of a different product, and they actually were releasing the 16 year at the same time. So there were actually three releases of the Bottled and Bond just this year. And what I really like is that it's interesting. So last year, you guys picked the Old Fitz 15 as one of your best of products. And so it's really interesting that you've picked, you know, another version of the Old Fitz, 9 year that came out this year. So that I think says an awful lot for the stewardship of that product line that they're having, and the quality that they've had, even within a lot of variation of from an aging perspective as well.
I would agree that some of those older ones are getting like real, real woody and out of balance. And just the difference in between a 14 and a 15 year old, some of them are really falling out of balance with the wood. So I love the 9 year old.
It's my favorite of the lineup. It's just because of that. And that's one of the also reasons why I picked, you know, for my best distillery of the year, the Heaven Hill, with all of their different products and stuff. And, you know, one of the other new products I got is the Elijah Craig Toasted, and my favorite new product. And I think that leads us into Justin. That's going to lead us to you for your product of the year.
My pick for the best of 2020 is the Elijah Craig Toasted Barrel Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, 94 proof and 47% alcohol by volume. The newest addition to the Elijah Craig line, the process for the toasted barrel begins with fully matured Elijah Craig small batch, which is dumped and then re-entered in barrel proof into a second custom toasted new oak barrel designed in partnership with the independent Stave Company. Made with 18-month air-dried oak, which is a pretty long drying process for oak and many spirits. A lot of them will go a year or even less. The finishing barrel is first toasted and then flash charred using a moderate toast temperature and toast time. An extensive research and development process resulted in a final barrel toast profile, bringing forth dark sugar flavors within the wood to create balance of smokiness and sweetness after months of finishing. Only charred American oak barrels are used throughout the entire process to maintain the standards of identity, class, and type designation for straight bourbon whiskey. I really enjoyed this so much. The sweet and the wood balance is really what came through for me this year on this. What did you think, Bob?
I think it was a fabulous product. Had a great flavor profile, and I'm just hoping they keep it going. So, and we'll be back.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and it's the best of 2020 show, and Justin was just telling us about his pick of the year, the Elijah Craig Toasted Barrel.
Wait, is it the best of Drunk Leprechaun show? Because Brent has that down to a T.
Not Drunk Leprechaun. It's Brain Damaged Leprechaun.
I'm sorry. I always get those things confused. You know,
Leprechaun after a bad car accident. Leprechaun who rides a motorcycle without a helmet. Oh, that would be me.
For sure. Well, so I really loved this new product from Heaven Hill this year. I really thought the Toasted was my favorite. It was my favorite new product of the year. And there have been other releases of people that have been doing toasted products. And, it seems like they're just kind of not quite getting everything quite together. I was not a fan of when Michter's released their toasted barrel. In fact, I followed up with Pam and said, what are you thinking? You know, but yeah, I mean, that product has moved through a point of maturity and is really a fabulous product now, you know, in the Michter's line. And I love how this is, actually, I think this is the homage back to Denny, because this is one of the last projects I think that he worked on before moving on to Maker's Mark, or I should say moving back to Maker's Mark. And I love the quality of this. I love the fact that they've done it as a widely available product. And I suspect that they're going to move this into the permanent product line for Elijah Craig as well.
I would like to know your definition of widely available.
Exactly. There's a, you know, it comes out and it's, and it is more readily available than a lot of products, you know, like this limited edition stuff. But
there were over 10,000 bottles of this that were available this year.
And it is going to be a regular release. They're going to release it a couple times a year and make it a regular release. But
I mean, BTAC is released regularly.
And yeah, and there was what, 30 some thousand bottles of the, of Stag or something, but
for being this one ordered is, by some guy in Michigan.
But this is a great new product. You know, as soon as it hits your palate, it's like, whoa, where have you been all my life? You know, this is a nice product. I'm glad that you picked it as your best of, because I thought it was my best new product. That's why I thought the whole Heaven Hill distillery, while there's some other distilleries we're going to talk about later, this one here, you know, they've been around a long time. They've done a lot of things, and they just do it right. They're not one of these ones that are just experimenting with other people's product and doing it finishes in other people's barrels. They're the ones that are providing it, and those are the ones that are doing it, and they're doing a great job.
Yeah, they are.
All right. Well, let's move on to our next pick. So we're going to have Maury tell us what his best pick of the year was.
Thank you, gentlemen. Well, my pick for the year of 2020 is once again the William LaRue Weller Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, coming in this year at 67.25% ABV or 134.5 proof for those of you who are mathematically challenged. Last year, the Antique Collection's uncut, unfiltered weeded recipe bourbon received a gold medal at the Los Angeles International Spirits Competition. This year's release was distilled in the winter of 2008 and aged in warehouses I and C, and on the third, fifth, and sixth floors. Astonishingly, 73.0% of it was lost to evaporation. The whiskey, that was after 12 years and 6 months. So tremendous angel share on this whiskey. Again, this is a perennial favorite. Although I love the BTAC collection and they're all rare, and I hesitate to pick a whiskey that's so hard to get. And following on some of the previous comments, there's a large number of bottles. I mean, it's a crazy number, but they're still incredibly hard and widely distributed in almost every state, but still incredibly hard to get. So wide distribution and easy to get are not necessarily one and the same. But this whiskey is just phenomenal. It's a perennial favorite of mine, as I said. The color is a beautiful mahogany color. The nose is just amazing, inviting, everything you want in a whiskey, just draws you right in. And then there's the palate. It's got this beautiful viscosity. It's got layers upon layers of flavor. The longer it sits in your glass, the more things you get out of it. And you can just sort of savor this whiskey all evening. And I think that that would be my take-home point is don't rush it. This one is really meant to be savored, to be enjoyed. And again, you can just wallow in the finish, because the finish just goes on and on.
On and on and on and on and on and on. Exactly. And on and on. Yeah, I love it.
I got to call BS. He didn't hesitate to pick this. This came out of his mouth the minute I asked him. He didn't hesitate for 1 second. All he said was, do we have any?
Well, so yeah, I think the challenging question I back to you, Maury, is, I mean, so this is a product that's been available now for, you know, quite some time, you know, year after year. What makes this particular year so special for you?
Well, like I said, the hesitation was not hesitating to pick it, but I believe I actually picked the same whiskey last year. And again, this year... This year,
so Brent is saying no. We'll have to go to the tape to find out exactly where that wound up, Maury.
You know, it really just stood out for me, head and shoulders above everything else. We don't give out a lot of fives. This was certainly a five sipper for me. I think it was unanimous on the day we recorded. Yeah. And like I said, it's just got the whole package. It's well balanced. It's not too oaky. It's not too hot on the palate. It's just right, like Goldilocks.
Well, I know a huge fan of this version is good old boy Jason, who is just singing the praises of this year.
Yeah, I thought this release this year was just absolutely fantastic. I mean, it's just the perfect balance of sweet and spice, but also hot enough to where it just smacks you in the face that you're drinking cask strength whiskey.
Yeah, and what's really funny is you both love 2019 to death. In fact, we were actually sipping on, 2019, as much as just 2 months ago. And I never thought that Jason was going to move on to saying there's something else that I like more than this until this year's came out.
That's so true. 2019 just spoke to me, but this one is just singing from the top of the house, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's no easier to get, unfortunately. Again, large number of bottles out there in wide distribution, but just equally impossible to get.
You've got $1,000 on secondary. It's really no problem.
Or if you know good old boy Mike, I mean, he's the one that'll really bring it home for you.
Right. Yeah. I'm the guy with all the master connections here. Sure. Uh-huh.
Until he pisses him off,
Yeah. Really fascinating how many of our fans, PM me every time you guys mention that. And I'm going, dude, I'm not your hookup. So, yeah.
Oh, by the way, I checked. Maury picked King of Kentucky last year.
King of Kentucky. I already knew that.
Well, there you go.
And that was a great pick for this year, too. But I
must have been 18. Do you have my 2018 pick handy?
Of course. So let me run down to Iron Mountain and pick it up for you, Harm.
I think it was Bibb and Tucker. I think you had picked Bibb and Tucker that year.
The White Dog.
No, yeah. I was going to pick Bibb and Tucker, Brent, but you had already taken that.
No, he had picked Boone's
Farm. That's right.
Right.
Boone's Farm, Strawberry Hill.
As far as adding a couple other little tidbits, for me, the best new product this year was the Four Roses Small Batch Select. I thought that was really a phenomenal product. I think it fits nicely into their lineup, and I really, really enjoyed that.
I think they finally fixed it. Yeah, that's what I think. Yeah. There's a couple of heads nodding around that one.
Yeah. I would totally agree, because a number of us went to that release last year, and I was underwhelmed, to be nice about it. And this year I cracked a bottle open with our friend Dan, and I suddenly saw it with brand new eyes, but it was a brand new bottle. So I am thinking that it changed, and I've gone through 3 bottles of it in the last few months, which is very unlike me.
Well, you didn't invite me.
It tastes good all of a sudden.
Is that your COVID plan,
Carrie Ann? I don't remember it being that memorable last year, but this year it's like a new product, and it really sang to me.
I've really been enjoying it.
I think for the money, it's hard to beat. I think it's a great value and a great product. And
ding on that.
You're solid.
In terms of my best distillery, I really think that Old Forester's killing it. They've really just done some amazing stuff. The Whiskey Roast series has been amazing. The Birthday Bourbon's a perennial favorite. And then, of course, the King of Kentucky is beautiful beyond words.
And the 150th.
Yeah. And, of course, the 150th, yes. President Select. I mean, they've really got a lot of great products, many of which are not widely distributed, but if you can get your hands on any of them, they're all fantastic.
Yeah, and that is a good flow into my short list of things. I absolutely think that Chris Morris and Jackie Zykin as the master taster have been absolutely killing that entire product line and knocking it out of the park. All those products have been really good. So the thing that is really hitting the market as the Sayers are a lot of the single barrel cask strengths, and really fantastic. And it shows you the wide diversity and quality of a lot of the products that they have to work with of creating many of those other products that you mentioned as well. So I really have to hand it to them of recognizing that there's an inflection point with such great quality whiskey that they have to work with. And I really suspect that that is going to be something that's going to happen for a long period of time at Old Forester as well. I don't think this is a flash in the pan at all. So
They've had a long history. They've been around for a really long time, and they've just got depth in their portfolio and obviously depth in their whiskey stocks that they can pull things like the King of Kentucky out from nowhere and it just sing and shine.
Well, I have
Let's go to Mike.
I have a short list of a long number of things to go through. How's that work out? Anyway, so listen, first off, my top whiskey of the year is actually going to be from the States at Lux Row. It is the double barrel 12-year This is at 118.4 proof. It's actually a blend of two barrels. So this very full flavor, hints of baking spices, just a really fantastic finish off this as well. At least 12 different releases of this. About 3,600 bottles became available this year around this product. So really great. I actually ran into Zeke from Dad's Drinking Bourbon just a couple of days ago. And the thing he really loves is he loves the heavy weighted cork on this thing. You actually can use it as a handy weapon, you know, if you want to. I mean, this thing weighs like 10 pounds, just the cork alone. It's actually metal wrapped. So if you get to see it, listen, you can hear all about our comments on Luxro Double Barrel on our Quick Shop Edition. It's episode number 2076. We'll actually, the name of that episode is called Mine Is All Gone. And we went through Yellowstone Limited Edition as well as this Luxro Double Barrel. And you can check out our extended comments on that as well. Well, I had a couple of other products to chime in as well. In addition to a lot of these great whiskeys we've talked about, we had a lot of great gin episodes this year as well. I really had such a fabulous time with Carrie Ann and Craig coming back and refreshing our gin catalog. And we really got to gush and talk about really fabulous gin from Freeland Spirits. So if you even have a fleeting chance of getting a hold of a bottle of Freeland Dry, do it. I actually used it as a pregame cocktail for our episode tonight with a really fabulous gimlet. I barely could pry my way away from that glass. To talk about everything else tonight as well. Top rum is actually from Foursquare. Our great friend Richard Seal put out a lot of great products this year, and I kept on mispronouncing this the whole time. I kept on saying Nobilary, and it's Nobilary is the correct pronunciation of this. I really love this product from Richard. You know, he's produced a lot of fabulous finished rums and bourbon and port and, you know, tons of other secondary finishes. And this is just the embodiment of a lot of time and energy that Richard has put together in producing really great rum. This is also my top pick for cigar pairing product this year as well. I have already killed two bottles of this, and I'm well on my way to probably a couple more of these. So really,
you might have a problem.
Yeah, that's
time we had to talk.
It's generally how it starts, and you know, it kind of works its way down from there as well. So I would encourage anyone to, if you have the access to that product, definitely pick that up for $100. Wow, it is an absolute steal. All day long, as well as a lot of great rums, but this one for sure.
Is there an age statement on that one, Mike?
No. There are some aspects of age stating the finish off that, I believe. It's a 9? I can't remember off the bat, Maury. I want to say it's a 9-year that's actually finished off for another year or so in each of the bourbon cask that were associated with that as well.
Yeah, I was just curious, but yeah, it sounds like an amazing product. We have not gotten a chance to try it. We've been too busy with all these new bourbons and whiskeys.
Yeah, let me look that up in between us talking, and I'll chime back in with the particulars on that particular product. I'm sorry, I just don't have them right in front of me, but that's a typical move for Richard, is to finish stuff off, you know, in a bourbon. Last product that I wanted to mention here is coffee. I am looking so forward to going through some really great coffee with Mike Love, who is one of our new co-hosts that's going to join us. He is a Cup of Excellence judge, and I am looking so forward to going through a lot of great coffees for a very long period of time with him. But I wanted to talk about my top bean here. Is from Costa Rica. It's Las Lajas. Is the name of the estate that this is from. This particular product is called Perla Negra, or the Black Pearl. And a couple of my tasting notes around this: great sweetness and a soft grape and red fruit tone balanced by this dark bitterness. It tastes like a coffee version of a jelly toast. So it has a little bit of a slight cranberry overtone to it. Really unique finishing process. They actually dry the beans out on a raised bed. So it actually creates a very consistent product. And so you don't wind up with, a third of the beans are really great and then two thirds are just, it really has a very consistent element to it. So a couple of really great natural versions of this are available from this estate. The other one is called Black Soul. The only difference is that they don't air that one out on a raised bed. Actually, just throw it out on a patio and let it kind of air dry. But really fabulous bean. And I have had just pounds of it this year. And I suspect that there's probably more of it in front of me as well. So that's a quick wrap up.
None of that's made its way down to Fort Lauderdale.
Well,
those pounds.
So you are willing to trade William Lear Weller for Costa Rican coffee? Is that what I'm hearing you say?
No, I didn't say that.
That's what I heard.
He drinks Sanka, please.
Counselor, is that what you heard?
Nescafe.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there's enough lawyers.
Sharing is caring.
Yeah, so three lawyers versus one doc that had a really crappy a trade in progress. That's what I heard. So... should have asked for 50 pounds, but yeah, it's, I think some of this can definitely make its way to you guys. So, but that's, some of my best of highlights, for 2020.
All right. Well, we've got Mike, so let's go to Harm and see what his best of pick was.
We have only 30 seconds here for a break, and we'll pick up Harm after the break.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't we talk about Harm for 30 seconds?
Oh, he's a miserable son of a...
Only 30 seconds? I can't really anything else.
Any surprises? Any big surprises so far out of any of our top picks?
I'm surprised that Maury can't remember his pick from last year or the year before.
There you go.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
All right, and we're back, and we're going to have Harm tell us about his pick of the year.
Thanks, guys. This is good old boy Harmeet, and I'm
nobody cares.
Sad I couldn't join you in the basement today, but I'm enjoying life on my yacht. Bob, put in some sound effects for me. Anyway, why am I on my yacht, you ask? Because that's the kind of money you need to drink the whiskey I picked for this year's best of. Unfortunately, I went a little bit over the normal budget I use. Previous years, I've picked my best of whiskey to be something attainable and easily, generally not a unicorn that you can find, and, under $500. This time, I blew that out of the water. Belvini Day of Dark Barley, 26-year-old, 95.6 proof, goes for close to $1,000 in the U.S. these days. And it's worth it. You need to have it. If you can't afford it, make friends who can afford it and have them buy it for you. At least get a dram somewhere. I've tasted many more expensive whiskeys over the years, but this one really left a mark because it tastes like whiskeys that
spilled it
cost
on
several times this amount. It was gorgeous. You can listen to episode 366 from July and hear us wax rhapsodic about it, but let me tell you a little bit now. The color was gorgeous, just a beautiful glowing gold, and the nose is what struck me. Bob called it citrusy creme brulee. To me, it was orange marmalade and on like toast, because you could taste that toastiness. I think that roasted barley brought that toast level to it. And it was like ginger spice. As it evolved in the glass, it went more apple-y rather than citrusy. Then it smelled like almost like hotcakes off the grill, pancakes, if you will. But maybe a hint of maple. I didn't think I caught it at first, but wow. It's just so rich and beautiful and inviting. And I wanted to just smell it all day. But we had a show to do. So, you know, I was forced to drink it. Woe is me. Let me tell you, the mouthfeel of this whiskey is something else. After 26 years in those first fill bourbon casks, it was butterscotch and just mouth coating, unctuous joy. Just blew me away. Even Brent liked it. How's that? Brent, do you remember that one? Brent liked it and wanted to hear more about whiskey making from Scotch people, from Scottish people.
Don't believe that.
Let me say this. It's a whiskey that I wish had a longer finish, only because I didn't want the flavor to go away. But you could count to 100 after taking your first sip and still be tasting it. The finish is ultra long. I just wanted to keep going on. It's something that could take a drop of water if you needed it, but I didn't do it. Our samples were too small. But think of it this way. We had a small sample from the distillery. It was split five ways, and I still remember it. I'm still yearning for it. I know where there's a couple bottles, but my wife might kill me. I'm going back to my pretend yacht. Back to you guys. Thank you for having me.
Well, I've got to agree with him. I mean, he picked that one before I did, so I let him have it. And
I've never seen you agree with him.
It was one of my top one or two whiskeys of the year. It was absolutely stunning.
Well, if I was forced to drink Scotch, I would drink it.
Yeah, it was just, oh, it was so damn good. And it lasted forever.
Actually, Carrie Ann and I ran into the local rep from Balvenie, and it was a really great, it was not this particular version, but it really caught our attention. It was one of the, I want to say it was Scotch of the Week, Scotch of the Day, Scotch of the Month. I can't remember how that series runs for them.
Pete of the Week.
Pete of the Week, yes. No. Thank you very much. Week of Pete was really good, Pete. Yeah.
That's what I said.
Yeah, it was really fabulous. And
Pete.
Yeah. So if you want the budget version of what Harm picked, that is probably the other choice I would throw up that really has a lot of the same taste profile, but maybe it's just not as rich and as full. But
that was exactly a year ago when we went to whiskey events.
Yeah. And what was funny is, that was actually at a whiskey tabernacle, which was before a huge beer event that we went to as well. Hey, I had a quick technical follow-up on Maury's question about the rum that I had. It's actually the Foursquare Nobel Uri, as I can say it correctly, maybe, once.
Nobilly.
I sound like a diction machine. I know. So it actually is a 14-year age-stated product that is actually finished off in ex-bourbon barrels. So it is actually a blend of pot and column still products, is what that is. So
Thank you for that follow-up, Mike.
Yeah. Anyway, so I didn't want to sound like a total idiot all through the entire episode, but. Anyway, I return us to our regular program here as Bob's going to chime in with this really fabulous hardback. Oh, my God. I'm sipping this right now. Holy crap.
All right. So my pick for the best of 2020 is the Ardbeg Trivon Batch 2. It's 92.4 proof, 46.2 ABV, 19 years old. It's the second release in the Trivon series.
Is this available as a body butter?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I use it as cologne. You know, a little behind the ear and a little bit underneath, you know, in the taint, and you're ready to go.
Wow. Oh my God, this is so good.
Yeah, it's just, it is absolutely, I mean, it tastes, if you've ever had any of the older Ardbegs from, you know, back in the 70s, you know, it's got that body and that character to it.
This could actually repel Jason and Brent at 500 yards easily.
That's fine. I don't care.
That taint right. That taint right.
Takes a man to drink real whiskey. So it's matured in American oak and older so sherry cask, 19 years old. It is just little bits of just sweet wood smoke, a little bit of tart creme fraiche, a little bit of fennel and roasted tea leaves, and a little bit of nose of just slightly burnt toast. It's not smoky on the nose, but on the palate, it's so just, it's like seawater salty. It's got just the slight bit of the medicinal to it, not in your face, but just enough to give you that beautiful Iowa feel. And a little bit of salt, and a little salty peanut brittle, and like cooked pineapple. It's just—it's a fabulous, fabulous, fabulous dram, and I think it's one of the best things Ardbeg's done in a long time.
So I'm guilty of actually tasting this in real time on our episode here for the first time. Wow! I mean, holy cow! This is. You know, we talk about things that have a measure of balance and elegance to them. And I even think that those adjectives are vastly short of just how well, you know, this is really pulling all this off. This is definitely that Isla product that a lot of people would go, this is not something that's going to club me over the head. This is just a very soft on-ramp to a really wonderful, you know, constructed product. This doesn't come in with the Peat Brigade that just would beat everybody over the head with. And I really love just how complex this can really be, because a lot of people just, they can't, you know, a lot of products from Isla, they get that peat bomb and they really don't even enjoy a lot of the other things that are there in a lot of these products. And this is a great example of just how complex things really can
be. It's got such finesse and there's so many layers to this. It evolves in the glass. It evolves on the palate.
It's like it's a peat marshmallow cake.
Yeah, it's so
good. I have to agree with you guys. I think that the Oloroso sherry cask really added a dimension and really helped kind of round it out. And you're exactly right, Mike. It's not just a typical peat smoke bomb. It's just complex and really, really interesting.
And they've had some great releases. I mean, they did the Wee Beastie, which, if you know, there's a big difference between a very young Isla and a very old Isla. They're two entirely different animals. So that was fabulous. And the Drum release from about a year ago, I still don't know why they haven't made that a part of the permanent line. That one was amazing.
Yep.
But this Trivon is just, this is the kind of thing you want to be buried with. It's just so good.
It reminded me of s'mores at a campfire. It was amazing.
Yeah, really great. So what's your sips rating on this, Bob?
36.
36. Oh, it's definitely a five all the way for me, for sure.
And then for this year, for the best distillery, you know, I thought about Balvenie because, again, that Day of Dark Barley was so good, and the Ton 1509 this year was spectacular, but I got to give it to Old Forester. I mean, they just constantly are cranking out just top end product. This was a tough picking the Trivon. Like I said, I thought about the Dark Barley, but I let Harm have that. I thought the Ton 1509, but that's so bloody expensive and so hard to get. You know, some great stuff. And then the best new whiskey that I had, the Elijah Craig Toasted Oak was great, but my pick was a little bit different. My pick was from Japan. It was a new release from Nika called Nika Days. And let me tell you, just for the money, absolutely everything a Japanese whiskey should be and could be if they really made it well, for a very, very reasonable price. Just bright and
sunshiny and light and just so many layers of flavor in it. Just absolutely lovely. They really knocked it out of the park with that one.
So I love this choice that Bob's come up with. It's very emblematic of the previous product they came out with, which was Nika Straight from the Barrel. And
one's better, I'm telling you.
If you did not catch our episode on Nika Days, it was just a few weeks ago. You can step back and definitely check that out. But I think that both of these products have really come around and demonstrated specifically what Japanese whiskey can really bring to the table for an everyday, sipper that are just really amazing. And I think that at times it's tragic that that is not on the back bar of, 1,000 restaurants in the U.S.
And the nice thing about this is you can have it on the back bar. It's a great whiskey, but if you want to make highballs with it, you can. You can mix it because you can afford to. It's they really nailed it with this one. They did a great job.
I love how Jason and Brent are looking at us like crickets.
No, come on. I tasted and reviewed this. I thought it was
he really liked it. I loved it.
I mean, I was able to give it an honest review. So, I mean, it was.
Yeah, Brent actually enjoyed this one.
But I'm not
going to buy it. He finished his whole glass.
But I'm not going to buy it.
As opposed to your typical dishonest reviews?
I get those all the time.
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. But that's on his other gig where he does sex toys. So leading out of that.
Okay, then. Denise.
Let's go to Denise and see what her pick of the year is.
Well, hello. I'm sorry that I missed the original introduction. I guess technical difficulties, but here I am.
And I blame Maury. I
see all of you. Well, I do, too.
Yeah. But,
only you can say that, Bob. So my pick is actually Weller Foolproof. This is actually a private pick. And so, unfortunately, or fortunately for Maury, he was on the pick. And so he introduced this to me, and I immediately fell in love with it. And for the Weller Foolproof fans, in June of 2019, Buffalo Trace launched Weller Foolproof. And its foolproof moniker doesn't mean it's bottled at barrel proof, but instead that it is bottled at the same 114 proof that the original distillate was entered into the barrel. So this one was absolutely amazing. I wish that all of you really could have tried this particular pick.
I would have liked to, but he forgot our phone numbers when he was doing that pick.
So I love that you picked this. Pretty
much polished it all off.
I love that you picked this, Denise. Okay. And, we've been really fortunate to have over 50 plus, stores that have done this in the local market in Middle Tennessee. And we've tasted nearly all those barrels. And it's really great to be able to see the extensive inventory that Harlan gets to work with, at Buffalo Trace, and really kind of expose a lot of people to some really great products. But, there's been a curve. There's been some really, great picks, and there's been some that are not so good. So, yeah. Hey, we're running short on time, and I want to give Carrie Ann just maybe 45 seconds here to talk about her top pick. If you have one to chime in here real fast, Carrie Ann, sorry.
Seconds.
Sorry, I went long, so it's my fault.
Typically. So I am going with the approachable everyman kind of. You can actually go and buy this. I am a big fan this year of the Wild Turkey Rare Breed Barrel Proof Straight Rye. I think it was a great product. I'm excited that they're adding it into their line. I hate to see that it's being called allocated in some markets, but it reminds me of my grandmother's house. It's full of like the cedar and like pine notes with like cookies baking. It has like vanilla and fruit cake. I think it's really special, balanced, beautiful little rye.
Yeah, so sorry, we got to cut off for time here. Definitely, I'm sorry we also missed Jason's top pick. Be sure and check his clip
here. You told me that was the plan.
Check out his best of clip online as well. So, Bob, I'll let you take us out here.
All right. Well,
that's all the time we have for today. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and you can catch all of our episodes where you found this one, as well as on terrestrial and satellite radio, and online at iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, PRX, and pretty much any place you can listen to a podcast. The easiest way to find this show is to ask your phone, ask Alexa or Siri or whoever the woman is on your phone that talks back to you, play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes, and hit the subscribe button. That way you'll always be able to listen to us. We love your feedback. You can reach us online at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our daily tasting notes flow out on Twitter every day at Sip, Suds, and Smokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news and reviews. I want to thank our co-host for joining us today. Thank you, Brent.
Yeah, I just want to say that we eliminated Jason because he picked a Blends product.
thank you, Jason.
Glad to be here.
Thank you, Justin.
Thank you so much, Bob.
Thank you, Carrie Ann.
My pleasure.
And Maury.
Always a pleasure. Thank you, Bob.
And Denise.
Thank you, everyone.
And good old boy Mike.
Hey, I like Jason in spite of the fact that he picked a Blanton's product as well. Come back, join us on another exciting episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes. I'll ask you to keep on sipping.
Another? You're implying that any of them are exciting?
One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.